Hello and welcome to Our Dads Died with me, Tom.
And me, Rich.
This is the podcast of people whose dads have died. Or someone else has died and you're sad about it or glad about it. That'd be weird. Listen to the podcast and we'll get into it. This week, me and Rich are talking about our dads.
We've gone fully self-indulgent. It's Our Dads Died, but as if our dads are alive. We're literally just going to talk about our dads so that you have an idea of who the people that we miss and talk about a lot are or were. That's what a depressing sentence.
Yeah, it's actual Our Dads Died for once. As we're reeling towards the end of the series, we thought we'd give you an episode where we actually tell you about our dads, because I think there's lots that we haven't told you. Contextually for this episode, I think this is going to be important. Rich has covered himself in a blanket.
Yes.
Sound quality, and yeah. He looks like a ghost.
I mean, you've got to hope that this is making a difference. I'm hoping that you're listening to this and thinking, God, Rich sounds clear this week, rather than Rich sounds exactly the same and he's just sweating beneath a blanket for absolutely no reason, because that could very well be the case.
What I don't like is he could be doing anything under the blanket, and it does raise questions.
Yeah, but the sound quality is so good that if I were doing anything, you'd hear it.
Of course, yeah. You couldn't get away with it.
You can't
That's
get away with it.
That's the double-edged sword.
Exactly. So this week, we've covered death in quite a lot of detail. Now we're going to be covering our dads, putting the our dads in Our Dads Died, so to speak.
Here's this week's episode.
Well, here's a thing. How about we start? Why don't you tell me what you know about my dad? And then I'll tell you what I know about your dad. And we'll see how much we've got.
All right, your dad, play along at home, your dad was a GP.
Yes.
His name was John.
Yes. Surname?
Spalding?
Yeah. It felt like a trick question, but...
It did, didn't it?
Yeah. Do you want a middle name to throw into the mix?
Onion.
John Onion Spalding?
Might be.
Roger. No, Philip.
Philip, a classic name.
Yeah. Continue.
The John of middle names. He made a lot of noise. In his existence was a noisy one.
Yeah, that's based on the few times that you met him. You did comment that he was a noisy man.
Each time there was a lot of sounds coming out, just bodily sounds. Also, he was sort of going like that.
Yeah, you characterise him as sort of almost like a human beatbox, just constantly
like he was
moving.
Doing scat.
He was a loud man though. He did everything that he did, and as you said, you used the word bodily. Bodily is correct. Everything that he did bodily was loud. He had a real dad sneeze, a dad nose blow, dad fart. Mm. Everything was loud. And is that the sum total of your knowledge of my dad? A loud GP called John.
Well, I know lots of facts about him that you've said in the podcast, of course, that I'm sort of trying to avoid repeating.
Sure.
But I remember that he went to a costume party with your mum on New Year's that time I came round.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they went to a costume party. They were sort of dressed in, like, you know, what someone might wear in Renaissance Italy.
I don't remember that. But they did used to do murder mystery on New Year's Eve with their friends.
That'll be what it was then.
And get really into character as whoever they were from, yeah, potentially Renaissance Italy.
Okay, so he liked being a different person?
Yeah, he liked escaping his own reality, sure.
I don't know. I know he was athletic, certainly. In my head, he was very athletic. But then you did say he was teaching rugby. But I can imagine, I'm sort of guessing now, but I can sort of imagine that he was in the football team at school.
I think he was. He was always a rugby guy. He liked playing rugby a lot.
Should have guessed that, shouldn't I? That would have been more obvious.
Yeah, but he was quite small, so he never got as far in rugby as he wanted to. I don't know how far he wanted to get, actually.
Indeed,
professional, yeah. England captain, I assume. He was very good at racket sports, good badminton player, and he was very, very quick. He won the Father's Day race at my first school every year, wow, apart from one, after he'd ruptured his cruciate ligament. Yeah, I mean, those ones, I guess, we would still count, but you've got to ask why I'm still going to first school at the age of 24. That is one of the bigger questions.
It's another issue with it, isn't it?
He won the Father's Day race, and he took that seriously. He cared about winning the Father's Day race, and I think that's why he won, more than sort of natural athleticism. He just wanted it more. And the one year that he lost, he was recovering from surgery, and there was a father there who was probably 10 years younger than him, and easily 6 inches taller. And he lost to him, and I cried.
Oh no, really?
Yeah. For some reason, he'd passed it on. It really mattered to me that he won the Father's Day race at school. I won zero races. I mean, I was not in any way bringing home silverware to the family table, but it really mattered to me that he did, and that he came back a year later and reclaimed his crown. And then died. So, mixed bag.
Are we getting to the limit of what I know?
Yeah.
I can't imagine if he played a musical instrument. I don't think so. So I'm going to guess no. We're just guessing, I guess, to some extent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you want to ask questions?
Yeah. Did he play any form of musical instrument?
He did. He played the guitar.
Ah. Yeah. I guess that makes sense because you played the guitar.
Yeah, and he was good. He was pretty good. I remember him playing Pink Floyd, Shine On You Crazy Diamond, quite a lot when I was a child. But I don't think he played anything else, just the guitar.
Oh, I thought you meant that was the only song. I don't think he played anything else.
He literally couldn't play anything else. It was just, he knew the notes to Shine On You Crazy Diamond, and he could play them perfectly. But if you offered him anything else, not a chance.
Improvising around it, just mixing it up.
Yeah.
Really impressive.
Shall I have a stab at your dad, so to speak?
Sure, please. Yeah, I think I might be, I really do think, weirdly, I'm at the limit of your dad. But maybe other things will pop up as we go.
Well, I'm not sure how much I know about your dad. John Gherkin.
John Gherkin. Middle name?
I imagine it'll be something quite fancy. Claudius.
No. No middle name. No middle name.
Okay.
That.
I was doomed to fail.
So far away from fancy, he didn't even have one.
Wow. I'm not even 100% sure what he did for a job. I have the image of him driving a van.
Yeah.
In some capacity.
Yeah.
Postal worker?
Basically, parcel delivery.
Yeah. Okay. Bald.
Bald as they come.
From Liverpool.
From Liverpool, yeah.
Supported Liverpool.
Indeed.
He loved musical theatre, specifically Gilbert and Sullivan.
God, yeah, you've got a lot of information, really.
He died.
We did that.
Yeah, died of cancer.
Nailed that one, didn't he?
He was married.
Oh yeah,
to...
I know how your dad died. He died of MS. What am I saying?
Died of MS.
I was going to say MSG.
Yeah, he overdosed on Chinese food.
What happened to my brain just then? Meningitis was what I went for, but.
MSG is what came out.
MSG, well, that was ultimately... They put meningitis down on the form because...
It made more sense. Hard to tell a family that this man's simply eaten too much MSG, I'm afraid. He died... I mean, it was a taste himself. Sensation, but it was too much for the human brain to handle. Too much flavour. Too much flavour for a white man from Shropshire.
Too much flavour for a Shropshire lad, yeah. Yeah, that's how he died. And, of course, married Diane, your mum.
Yes, yeah, as I call her.
Yeah.
Your dad, he was married to your mum, Penny, but they divorced, and he then married Paula.
Oh, yeah, good work there.
And lived in Bournemouth still, I think.
Yeah, lived in Bournemouth still for most of it.
Really. Yeah.
And then, obviously, your dad lived in Kidderminster.
Yes, yeah. Spot on.
Birmingham area.
But I think that is the limit of my knowledge of John, no middle name Gherkin, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting that, isn't it? Because he had quite... The van driver thing is sort of correct, but only in later life. He worked for a parcel company.
Right.
And, you know, it was all going great. And he got higher and higher and higher up the chain. Ended up being this regional manager. I'm gonna say something now, which I'll only say because he's dead and they can't come after him. he used to drive me to and from university whilst at work.
Oh, really? What, dropping things off on the way?
Yeah, just breaking the rules. Just nice. Breaking the rules. So he would do his regional manager stuff, calling people. You know, and he had that thing where, like, he'd remembered three facts about someone.
Oh, yeah.
So he'd call them up and go like, oh, yeah, how's kids? Oh, yeah. Oh, Debbie and Harry are doing well. Oh, that's good to hear, you know. And then, like, why haven't you delivered this yet? Just position. Anyway, he gave it up because it was too stressful. He took a year off, during which he mostly sat on the sofa in his vest, drinking vodka.
Nice.
That's nice. Joke.
Oh, right, okay. I was going to say nice or tragic.
Yeah, that was his joke, but I imagine it did happen.
Right.
And then got a job for a company just delivering the old parcels. Stress-free. Didn't have to work outside of his, you know, hours.
Yeah.
That was pre-cancer, so he'd already had the sort of, you might say midlife crisis, I suppose, although, as it turned out, quite near the end of the life.
Seven-eighths of the way through. Crisis. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But you know, he really benefited from it. Much easier life after he did that, you know, stress free.
Yeah, much happier man, was he?
Much happier man. Well, I think he was pretty happy, but certainly became a lot more happy when he gave up the stressful job.
Nice.
No question there. He told me at one point he had to drive, there was a shift where you know, he was a manager. But he was driving home from wherever, somewhere kind of like in the London-y area or maybe Bristol, you know, far enough away, like 2.5 hours away from home. And he was driving home and he put on a CD of like, you know, party hits of the 90s. And he was just driving home and just started crying.
Oh, wow.
And it was just like, oh, this is awful. I'm just so sad. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, the feel-good music was just...
party hits from the 90s.
I think the Macarena just triggered something. Was like, oh no, this isn't what I want to do with my life. This is wrong.
Just imagining your dad at 70 miles an hour on the M6 listening to Agadoo crying his eyes out.
Tears coming down. Oh, that really made me think. That really stuck with me, I think. That's a good life thing. I think that'll stick with me.
Yeah, don't do a job that makes you weep on the way home. That's a really, really good rule for life. If you're in a position where you don't have to, at least.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? A lot of us have done the old go home weep.
Yeah. what's your earliest memory of your dad?
Oh man, what a question that is.
I know, and I really came out of the blue with it too.
I don't know if I can do earliest.
What's an early one?
There's one which isn't really this, but it is good. There was like these little stairs, like going downstairs in the old house. It was a little staircase and then a landing and then the stairs going downstairs, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, 6 or 7 and I'm playing with this little Action Man. But little tiny figures, like Warhammer-sized figures of Action Man, really small.
Sure.
And I'm playing with these because there was this, because you have like the stairs up and down. There was also a nice little three-layered stand. So it's really nice stuff. Anyway, obviously I'm completely blocking this landing. And my dad walks down, sees me in the middle, looks down at me and goes, well, that's a good place to pick to blow your toys, isn't it? And I went, yeah.
Completely and not reading the sarcasm.
For years, I didn't. That was a nice memory.
Really?
Of my dad recognising that I'd chosen a good place to play with my toys. It was only when I was like 12 or 13 when I remembered it, when I went, oh no, okay. That wasn't him agreeing with me.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty early one. It does tell you a lot about the man. What about yourself? What about your early dad memories?
I was trying to think what the earliest one was, and I can't quite it's hard to know which ones happened. There's no like chronological order to sort of memories from your childhood. But an early one that I remember is going to some kind of like family, like wider family event. I don't know if it was a wedding or a christening or something. And I was probably, I would guess 4, maybe 5. And me asking my dad what he was going to wear to the party, because I wanted to wear the same clothes as him, because I wanted to look like him. And being sort of frustrated that we didn't have matching clothes that we could wear. And so I think, I remember that I wore like a little white shirt and I think some corduroy trousers. And then got my mum to try and do my hair like my dad's, because I wanted to look like my dad.
How old were you during the hair gel situation?
I mean, I don't really know, but I think it was quite a consistent part of my early childhood, was just trying to be like my dad. I remember I always wanted to be a doctor because he was a doctor, until my mum said, "Do you just want to be a doctor because your dad's a doctor?" And I said, "Yes." And she was like, "Maybe you should..." It wasn't like this. I was going to say, she said, "Maybe you should think for yourself," which would be quite harsh to a 7-year-old, wouldn't it? Maybe you should get your own life. Stop copying your dad.
I mean, unironically, that is the sort of thing my mum would have said to me. Oh, you want to work in this industry because your dad does? Don't think you want to be like him, mate. She once said to me when I was younger, obviously my dad's a Liverpool fan, my brother's a Liverpool fan.
Yeah.
And I was like a child trying to decide what football team to support, as it were. Uh-huh. Like, oh, maybe I should support Man United because all my friends support Man United. And my mum went, "Yeah, you should do that. Really piss off your father."
Oh, wow. She was actively pushing for you to piss him off.
Real life, that happened. Actual quote.
Oh, wow.
In the end, I supported Liverpool, so it's all fine.
Yeah, that really backfired on her. And that takes some will in the 90s to resist when Man United's put out there for you and they're willing everything. To follow the path of the true Reds is—it shows a lot of character.
It took some work because all the people at school, you know what I mean? They all,
oh yeah, paying off now though, isn't it? Where are they now?
Yeah, well, they're also bad.
Yeah,
we're all suffering. Not as much as my dad though, who is
what are you
slightly
saying?
Implied he was in hell. No, I don't think so. Probably not. Probably isn't one, so it's all fine. Don't worry about it.
Tell me a fun story about your dad.
One thing he always did that I always thought was really, really cool was he took us to the arcade.
Right.
The Sega arcade to play video games. And I know it's really cool for a number of reasons that actually, and some of them only came up in later life. But you know, number one, I was obviously like, well, he obviously could not care less. He could not give a single shit about this. So credit to him for the video game thing, number one. He also played a shooting video game he once. Weird. Number two, the food place that was there was that sort of... Okay, I can't remember the name of the chain. But you know, it's not like Burger King or McDonald's, but it was like that one that existed, maybe still does in very small places.
What, like a burger? Wimpy?
Yeah. Not a Wimpy, but really close.
Okay.
Very much that sort of thing. Little Chef?
Little Chef, yeah. That existed.
It was a Little Chef. And okay. And I only found out quite later when trying to replay a memory with the help of a sibling that the reason he used to get really shirty when we ate there was because they fried their burgers in the vegetarian burgers in the same meat juices they used for the meat ones.
He was a vegetarian.
He was a vegetarian.
Oh, that's
and
interesting.
Yet he was eating
animal fat
meat fry because you know that was he felt that was the right thing to do, and he used to get us KFC, and this man was a vegetarian. He didn't eat the KFC, I should say. But he used to buy it for us. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is quite cool. And he never tried to make you a vegetarian?
No, never. I mean, obviously, I ended up becoming a mostly vegan. But, you know, that was more of a response to him dying. Having a crisis. But he never tried. I always thought, like, from a moral standpoint, he always seemed to have a really cool bounce there. It's not a fun story about a fun thing he did, but I think those kinds of things really are make a person. I've got so much respect for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that
like,
is lovely.
I'm not going to force my kids to eat vegetarian stuff. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to buy them meat and all that stuff, whatever. I just think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is very
cool. What about your dad? Did he do anything that was cool, or was he just failing? Well, you previously said he was Champions League, so I mean...
Yeah, I mean, he did some pretty cool stuff. I think I've told a lot of the stories on here before. I mean, I've told the story about him headbutting someone, which
course,
I always thought was very cool. What are the other big John Spalding stories? I mean, I think his origin story for why he was a doctor...
His origin story? Oh, yeah, I'm here for this.
Was that he was ill when he was a child. He got quite like genuinely ill, and they had to call the out of hours doctor. So I think that he would always frame this as like when he was talking to people at medical school about why they were becoming a doctor, and they were always very worthy and stuff. Or like, as is often the case with doctors, like, oh, their father was a doctor and his father before him, and it was like a family of doctors. And his story was that he was very ill when he was like 5 years old, and they had to call the out of hours doctor. And he remembered being in his bedroom upstairs and hearing the doorbell ring and the doctor entering the house. And he looked out the window and saw that the doctor had a blue Jaguar. And he went, I want a blue Jaguar. I'm going to be a doctor. And from then on was just determined to be a doctor because he wanted a blue Jaguar.
Did he ever get the blue Jaguar?
He didn't ever get a blue Jaguar, no, unfortunately. He got a red MG.
Sounds fancy.
Yeah, I think it was sort of... It was technically a sports car. But I don't think it's like... It's not one you show off about too much. But he really liked it. And I thought it was super cool when I was like 12. And still do now, to be fair.
Did the top come down?
The top came... Oh, baby, the top came down.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I think my aunt and uncle had that same car, but in yellow.
Yellow, that's a bold choice.
Yeah, yellow, right?
Yeah. Okay, interesting. But yeah, that's the story he tells for why he became a doctor. He did used to lie a lot, though. He used to tell dad lies.
Oh, yeah, I get that feeling from your dad. Let me tell you, when I've got a kid, I'm going to tell the biggest dad lies of all time.
Yeah, what kind of things are you going to go for?
Can't wait. Well, my younger brother and sister, I go hard. I mean, I used to tell Emily that when she was born, they called her Pierre.
Right.
Because the doctor was French, and he said she looks like a Pierre. And my parents went, oh, yeah, definitely. And then they went, oh, no, we better call her Emily. I said, but I know you're really Pierre. She didn't
deep down inside,
that.
She's Pierre.
She said, she was like, me not Claire, me Emily. And I was like, you Pierre.
I mean, we should point out that your younger brother and sister are, they're a lot younger than you.
12 years old.
They're more than 20 years younger than you. Yeah.
So there's a lot to get into with them. But definitely I'll be going down that road. My dad didn't do that sort of thing, and I think he missed out. Although when I was a child, I used to tell quite big lies about my dad.
Did you? What kind of thing?
Well, firstly, I used to say I used to tell people at school that he hosted the Crystal Maze.
Because he was bald?
Because he was bald.
Yeah. All it takes.
My dad... No! Yes! He told me he played left-back for Liverpool because the Liverpool left-back at the time was bald.
Wow.
So he did do the Big Dad lie. So there you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, yeah.
He got in on the train and I'll be... I can't wait to join.
And how long did you believe that for?
Well, longer than is acceptable.
Right.
Yeah.
How long are we talking then? Like, what kind of age? And was it like a moment of realization, or did you just...
We weren't in the double digits, but we were getting there. We were rapidly approaching. We were rapidly approaching.
Did you think back on it at some point and just go, oh, yeah, that can't be true? Or...
Oh, I think back on it all the time. I lie awake at night and just run through all the things that are wrong. And that's just one of the many things that just...
Yeah, yeah.
Just pops in and says, you stupid idiot. If your university finds out, they'll take your degree away.
And rightly so.
And rightly so. What about your dad, though?
Oh, yeah. No, he was a big old dad liar. I mean, there's the things that kind of, they come to you only when you realise that they're wrong, almost. So there'll be some, I bet there are some things that I still think that my dad told me for a joke when I was five. The ones that I remember mostly was, I remember being in a fight in school when I was quite young, because my dad had told me that earwax is dead brain cells coming out of your ears.
Sure.
And he said it in such a matter of fact way that I was like, well, that's just true then. And it seems plausible, right? Your brain is in your head and the brain cells must die. Where are they going to come out? Ears are nearby. Great. Out the
and pot. He was a doctor, so he should know.
Well, and that was the argument I made when Marcus Griffiths argued with me the next day. And I was delivering that fact and Marcus Griffiths was like, no, it's not. It's got nothing to do with that. And I was like, sorry, Marcus, is your dad a doctor? Yeah, exactly. Didn't think so. My dad is. And he said, dead brain cells come out of your ears. And we had a fight, and I believe a teacher got involved. And
a fist fight?
I don't know.
Did you headbutt him?
Possibly, following in the lineage of sporting headbutts. But yeah, and then I had to. I remember like saying to my dad that, you know, Mark kept saying that you were a liar, and my dad had to be like, "I am a liar. That's probably why." That was not true. The other one was that the spleen, and this one I believed well into my teens, late teens, I think, that the spleen had never been formally identified. No doctor really knew what or where it was, or if it even existed in the first place. Which, wow, it turns out they do know. They're well aware, and it has been documented. Although I still don't know what it is or what it does. Do you?
Oh, if only we had Victor.
Yeah, Victor'd be all over this.
He'd be able to help us out.
Because all the other organs, like, you've got some idea of what they all do. Liver, stomach, kidneys. You have some idea of where they are, what they look like, what they function as. Spleen. What is it? Oof. I'm starting to think maybe he's right.
Oh, you see, the thing is, and the issue I have is that I didn't do well in biology at GCSE. I got a C, which I suppose was an accomplishment, but I mean, that my best friend, who isn't you, like, sat down with me and taught me the revision guides. He was, like, really going to town on, like, you know, making me learn it. So that was very short-term memory, of that. You know.
I mean, Tom...
So I've got nothing.
I don't want to boast here. I got an A in A-level biology, and I still don't know what a spleen is. So, based on the evidence here, no one knows what a spleen is.
I mean, I know it's the dad episode, but I think we are going to have to briefly get into the A-levels. What did you do? What did you do?
What A-level-wise?
Yeah.
I did psychology, biology, and history. A real broad... swathe.
What'd you get?
Oh god, I was hoping you wouldn't bring this up. I got 3 A's, mate. Yeah, 3 A's. Got 4 marks into my exams.
full marks.
Yeah. In one psychology paper and one history paper.
I got 4 marks in some of my exams.
I did. I think I failed general studies, though, which is possibly more indicative of the person that I am.
No, we all did acrostics for our general studies.
What's acrostics?
You know, an acrostic poem where all the letters on the left of a page spell something out.
Right.
We all wrote like general studies is stupid and then worked back from there.
Nice.
I don't recommend you do it, but it didn't count towards our UCAS points and it took away from our learning. So we thought it was stupid. So what did you do at uni again?
I then did history at
history.
Uni.
I thought you did history. What was the point in that?
I mean, who knows, Tom? Who knows? And I thought that multiple times throughout the course, but
because you did biology and psychology, both of which obviously not only do they lead to careers, but extraordinarily lucrative ones.
Mm.
And you thought history is where the money is.
Yeah, but I think I was already at that point quite aware that I whatever I did at university, I was going to spend most of my time not really focusing on it. And that did turn out to be true. And biology and psychology would really send me down a path from which I couldn't pull back out again. But if you do history, basically you can do... The idea is you can then do sort of lots of different things. Or alternatively, you can do nothing.
I think the line from history to radio production is...
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
It's clear. It's just funny because you said your dad was a doctor and you wanted to be a doctor at one point and you even did biology and psychology, which is like the medicine of the mind.
Yeah.
But the last minute, is that when your mum came screeching in, you know, put that scalpel down?
I think I did history because it was the one that I was best at. And I didn't even think, like, do you have any interest in this whatsoever? Because then I would have gone, no, I don't. No, he was very, very focused and very driven, my dad, in a way that I haven't ever really been. He knew he wanted to be a doctor from the age of 5. His entire life was geared towards that. And then when he was a doctor, he worked very, very hard and was very, very passionate about it, to the point of headbutting ex-colleagues when they slagged off general practice. He was a very, very focused and driven man, very, very hardworking. And I believe a very good doctor, although he wasn't allowed to be my doctor because that's against the law.
Is it?
Yeah, you're not allowed to do any kind of medical... Just an experiment. You're not allowed to do any sort of medical experiment on your kids.
You're not allowed to do experiments on your kids. That's just not. It's not acceptable now.
No, but you can't.
It's not like the good old days, eh, Rich?
You can't treat your own kids. You're not allowed to. Officially, I mean, he did used to. Obviously, if I was ill, he'd be like, "Well, it's this, so take this." But officially, if I was like, I don't know, if I needed emergency care, he couldn't do it. Well, I mean, he could. Obviously, if I was choking to death, he wouldn't be like, sorry, I'm too close to this. We've got to call in another doctor.
Can't treat your own kids.
Yeah, sorry. My hands are tied. I've signed the Hippocratic Oath. I don't really know what to tell you. He is dead. Yeah, he is dead. Sure.
Yeah. That's something my dad used to say whenever I'd ask him if we get like ice cream or something.
What? He's dead?
Can't treat your own kids. It's the law. Nice. It's the law.
I'm afraid you can't treat your kids.
You can't treat your kids. I'm so sorry.
Was John, no middle name Gherkin, a happy man?
Mm. Yeah, he was actually. It's quite interesting, really, because I think there's lots of different phases of his life. The sort of the first marriage where he wasn't happy, the middle bit where he was sort of happy and not as well. Like he moved to Portsmouth. It's not going well if you've moved to Portsmouth, is it? It was sort of up and down. It wasn't great, but it had some okay moments. And he met Paul, and you just see him change. He sort of became so much happier. It was kind of crazy. Like, it was quite a big change, I think, quite a big shift. And they were together for a long old time at the end there. Well, maybe even a decade, maybe. quite a lot. Yeah, more than a decade, actually. God, yeah, more than a decade. And happy. And I think that's pretty crazy, really. I mean, he loved the Amdram. He loved the theatre. He loved doing the getting up on stage and being the centre of attention.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good at it as well. You know, lots and lots of happy memories of mine are seeing him perform and sing and, you know, be in his element and very, very impressive. I remember him as Max Bialystock in a former production of The Producers. But there was like, you know, 2,000 people there and, you know, he was just absolutely on form and just think, damn, that's impressive.
It's pretty high level Amdram, 2,000 people.
Yeah. It was a pretty big Amdram, I think. The Bournemouth one he was in.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff.
They were pretty big. They would have a run of like a week and they would get anywhere between 1,000 and 2,000 each night, I think. I imagine. Wow. I'm not 100% sure on that. I think that's right though. Maybe 1,200. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Like 300.
Yeah, when you were a kid. It was 40 people there.
When you're a kid, it's 10,000 people.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was amazing. You know, it was amazing. And so, so impressive. And I think, you know, you sort of go in, see him after, and he's like, ah, yeah, you know, how good am I? And you're like, yeah, you're pretty good, bro. You just think that's a pretty cool place to be. So maybe not happy for a lot of it.
Yeah.
But for the key bit when I was an adult, very happy.
That's nice.
What about your dad? He seemed almost too happy.
Too happy for this world. Yeah, I think he was a happy man. I think he was a very content man. I think he was also, you know, there's that thing that people say that you can't be happy all the time. So what you want to be is content. And I think he was content. There are times where he was, you know, he was very depressed at one point in his life. He was also he had a very stressful job, and I think, and he obviously took it very seriously. So he was, you know, in some ways quite highly strung, although that never really came home with him. But I remember talking to him when I was older, and he said that he found his job. He really looked forward to retiring, not because he didn't like his job, but because he found his job incredibly tiring and stressful. Because, as he explained it to me, it was, you know, you see, I don't know how many patients you'd see in a day, but like 40, you get 10 minutes with each one, and you have to be completely 100% switched on to everything, because they've probably got a cold, but what if they haven't and you miss it? And he took that responsibility very seriously, which made him a good doctor, but I think did take a toll on him. But at home, yeah, he was a very happy man, very happily married, really loved being a husband and being a dad. And yeah, good guy all round.
Maybe this episode, if you were listening to this thinking it wasn't as funny as the other ones, I guess it wasn't, but maybe this one was just sort of for me. This is the one that my children will play to me.
Yeah, this is our most selfish episode.
What was my dad like? And I go, oh, let's play this and let's find out. And
quite a distant relationship you have with your kids when they're like, tell us about granddad, and you go, stick the podcast on.
Yeah.
I'd have to be here for this.
Of course, I'm doing a podcast. I'd listen, once I've got a child, it'll be, you know, our childs were born. And, you know, this will be for them to listen to. They can listen to this. They don't need to have any FaceTime with
You can parent them through podcast.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it'll be. That's nicer.
Here's a question. If your dad and his best mate had recorded a weekly podcast over the course of a couple of years, how invested would you be in listening to it?
Incredibly invested. Yeah. My dad was funny. He made me laugh. That was one of the things. He made me laugh and I made him laugh. Our sense of humour was the same. And his two really good mates as well, Ian and Paul. The three of them doing a poddy together, I would be binging that thing just relentlessly. I'd be listening to all of that, the whole archive. Oh my God, it'd be so funny. It'd be so good. That's a shame that doesn't exist. I try to remind myself of that with this one as well, because I sometimes think, you know, at least like that's nice that my kids will have something to remember me by.
Yeah, that is true. I'd love to have a load of recordings of my dad just talking shit about nothing.
Exactly. Just talking shit, just whatever, you know, just being a bit silly. It doesn't have to be super serious. It can just be nonsense. Or finding out that ashes are made of bones.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm still reeling from that one. It just sticks with me. Would you be up for your dad's? Would he? Who what was his best mate? Would he be? Would it be quite medical? Do you think?
Well, yeah, I think he would. He'd have to talk about one of the things he was interested in, which would be, I guess, top of the list would be medicine. Number two, probably rugby. I'd definitely listen to a rugby podcast that he did. I mean, I would love to. It's one of the things that you realise when somebody dies, you have this cut-off point where you're like, oh, that's it. That's all I will ever get of them. Every photo of them that's taken is, these are the only photos I will ever have. These are the only videos I'll ever have. Like, there's no way of creating more from him. And sadly, he didn't live in an age where people recorded themselves talking relentlessly.
Yeah.
And so I would love to have more footage of him and you know, an hour long podcast of him talking about medicine would be great. Absolutely listen to it.
You know how when we were in school, the chat always used to be, you know, oh, my dad could beat up your dad, you know, my dad could beat your dad in a race, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do you think well, by the time we've got kids, the chat will be, my dad's got a better podcast than your dad? Yeah, now your dad's podcast is shit. He never gets good guests.
My dad can out-podcast your dad any day of the week.
Your dad's podcast isn't even edited. He didn't even put any AI denoising technology on it. It's rubbish. He doesn't even record it under a blanket.
He's using a USB mic, plugging it into a laptop.
Your dad's got an XLR cable.
Your dad needs to go and listen to some Joe Rogan to see how you actually podcast. I mean, when Joe Rogan dies, I mean, if you're his kids and you're like, I can't get enough of listening to recordings of my dad, I think you could get enough. If he's putting out 3 hours a week, eventually you'd be like, I can't do this again.
From a pure content perspective, there's so much of it.
There's so much Papa Rogan out there that, yeah, you'd get bored eventually. I'm sure of that.
I think about that all the time with like celebrities. You know, if your dad was a wrestler is the one that always comes to my mind because they just do so many matches and they're so similar.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't watch them all. What if your dad was a footballer? Would you watch like all, like a completionist kind of thing? Gotta watch every match they ever played in.
I don't know. I think potentially you would. Or you'd have them, you'd always have them there. It'd be nice to always have more to go back to. That's the thing. Even if you were never going to listen to or watch it all, it would always be a thing of like, oh, there's more I can learn about my dad. I can hear him say sentences or words or have conversations I've never heard him have before. And they're just always in the vault and you can dip into it anytime you want. That would be nice.
Yeah, it'd be really nice, wouldn't it? I'd really like that.
Whereas in terms of video, like on Facebook, I've got two videos of my dad, him doing the ice bucket challenge and him trying to film a grasshopper. That's it.
The classics.
Yeah. And you treasure them.
My dad never did the ice bucket challenge. In his words, too cold.
well, he's right. Bang on.
Thank you, everyone, for listening this week. We've got a couple more and then that'll be the end of a series. It's been a lovely run, but we're very tired, I think. Both of us, when I say we're very tired. If you go on my Twitter page right now, at TW Gherkin, you'll see a link to a YouTube video, which is my first film for BBC Click. Me on camera on the BBC, if you can imagine, that's a ridiculous thing. So, you know, the busyness is cool. And Rich, obviously, you know, he's also, I think he's playing at the Royal Albert Hall. Ticketmaster is doing that. So, you know, do check it out.
I'm currently booking in previews for what will be next year's Edinburgh show. Okay. So when the ticket links for those are live, I will be plugging them relentlessly. on here, and I would hugely appreciate you coming to any or all of them. That would be great.
Can you give us a little taster, a little sneak peek, something, anything that you've written for
about the show?
Or the theme of the show? Or
Yes. So the current log line, and I think it will be of interest to the people who listen to this podcast, is that it's a show about work, bones, and death.
Bones?
Yeah. There's some bones in there. I may even have to be contacting Victor to get some more bones facts.
Get some bone stats. All right. Well, in any case, thank you so much for listening. And always do remember, please, that death comes for us all.
But it comes for you first.
Goodbye.
See you in a bit.